And hello to another one, my first ever podcast. Oh, it's basically a live stream right now. And we got a great roster up here for you on the iTalk Sports Show. First, we'll be talking about baseball and what the heck happened to sports. This is like madness. We have no entertainment. I hate when these things happen, honestly, so... You know, it's terrible, right, guys? But we still have our great predictions. So, today, we will be discussing what is going to happen this season in baseball. So, like, first up, I have a couple of things I was writing down. What I think about baseball and what's going to happen this year. Mostly in the Northeast. First up, I don't know about you guys, you have written down in the chat, but I have, for my first place team, I have the Phillies going 90-72. Well, Phillies, they're not my favorite team, being sure, just because I'm a New York fan. I live in New York, big New York fan. New sports. Phillies 90-72. I think they acquired Zach Wheeler. Perfect from the New York Mets. They got Joe Girardi as a coach. Harper did decent last year. I think if they just have everything in the right place, they got Didi, they got everything going for them, they're going to have a great season. And then coming right behind the Phillies, I think it'll happen. I'm not just going because they're my hometown team. Going with the Mets at 89-73. Just because they're my hometown team doesn't mean that they have a two-time back-to-back Cy Young Award winner in Jacob deGrom. And they have Pete Alonso, 53 home runs. Unbelievable. Broke the rookie world record, rookie home run record. And I just think that's amazing, by the way. He's a hell of a player. He should have been. I don't know why he wasn't MVP, even though he didn't have the best like all around stats, but he's just an amazing all around baseball player. And the Mets don't have the best coaching right now, but they got Dylan Bentanis. I'm gonna say his name, but he's really. He's a solid reliever. And now I know. It's not good that I have Atlanta behind the Mets. 87-75. They just didn't have it last season. They didn't have it. I know they made the playoffs, blah, 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 but they lost and stuff like that. They let the Nationals come in front of them. How do you let that happen? And the Phillies were still under their processing. The Mets just got Jacob deGrom off of Cy Young. Pete Alonso was growing. Phillies they got Bryce Harper. He didn't have the best year, and they need him more. So now they went out, they got everything they need him, and now they're set. So the Mets. Atlanta, they were already set. They were set. They just didn't have enough to beat the Nationals, who they had Anthony Rendon, they lost Bryce Harper, and they still managed to beat everybody in the NA, the National East. The East, I still don't think. How is that possible? That's why if you lose Anthony Rendon, you lose him. You still got Steven Strasburg. Okay, you need Anthony Rendon, but you lost him. That's why the Nats in fourth at 82-80. You can't lose your best hitter. Okay, Trey Turner, he's amazing ball player. Steven Strasburg, outstanding. But you cannot lose your best hitter on the team. And you can't. So you got bumped down way down because Anthony Rendon, leader in RBIs, he was just amazing all around baseball player, and you lost him to the Angels. I don't know how you get that. Miami, same old, last place. They lost Realmuto last season to the Phillies, which again is another highlight of the Phillies. He had a Realmuto preseason. You got nobody. Maybe Starlin Castro, but who I think is their best decent player. I put them at 70 and 92, definitely not making the playoffs. So, the Central Division, Brewers, 87 and 75. I know, Christian Yelich, all that. He was an MVP, but he had an injury at the end of the season, so that's not his fault. He's a great ball player, by far an amazing ball player. But the Brewers just don't have enough to get over at least 90 wins this year. I don't think they have it. But they got Lorenzo Cain, amazing. He showed it last year. Amazing outfielder. But they don't. They got Josh Bader. He's an amazing reliever, one of the best in the league. They have an all-around good baseball team, but they lost Yasmani Grandal. They lost him to the White Sox. Again, catchers mean a lot. And going back to the Mets and the Phillies, they both have catchers that had an outstanding season. Wilson Ramos, outstanding, 24-game hit streak. And the Phillies had JT Realmuto, again, one of the best catchers in the league. But Yasmani Grandal was the best, arguably the best catcher in the league last year. Maybe the best. In my opinion, he was the best. And just say you can't let that happen. You can't keep on losing them. And then the Cardinals in that second at 85 and 77. The Cardinals almost making the World Series. Almost. They didn't have enough. They have a good team. The team worked together. But what they really need is one outstanding player to put into their lineup. Like one player that is above all the others. They need stars. Like they have a good all-around team. I'm not lying. But they need stars. That's what they need. They need a or a couple people that shine above all the rest. Like Matt Carpenter was like a couple years, like 2 years ago or a year ago. I don't know. But he shined above all the rest. Like if you think Cardinals, you think Matt Carpenter. And then again, talking about the Cubs right now at third, 82 and 80. You think Cubs, you think Chris Bryant. Well, I don't know about you. I think Chris Bryant. And that's just what you gotta say. The Cubs in debt. Their team has broken down since the 2016 World Series. It's just they need to have that again. Hello, NBK95. What's up? The Pirates. I have them as 80 and 82. I think that the Pirates. Josh Bell had an amazing, amazing season last year. Amazing first baseman, great season. The Pirates just they need a little bit more. If they got a little bit more pitching, they could make a great team. They might even be in top two in the Central. But just they need the pitching. That's what they need. And the Reds, well, they got Joey Votto, who's very old. Luis Castillo, who I think is an amazing pitcher. I love him. He's one of my favorite. And I also think that I like their pitching. And they also have Iglesias, who had a good season. And, well, they just had a good season, but it wasn't like the best. Like, they need more to improve. I have them at 75 and 87. They just need more to improve. Like, a little, if they get a, again, like, same with the Pirates, they need a little bit more push. I think the Cubs also are going to go downhill this season. I think that they're not going to have an amazing season that they had in 2016. Again, they're not going to keep on moving up. They have to get out of debt first, and then they'll start moving up. And now we're going to move on to the West, the NL West, and the Dodgers. Oof, we got a lot to talk about with Dodgers. I love the Dodgers making big moves, acquiring Mookie Betts. Mookie. And they have Cody Bellinger, Mookie Betts. And They amazing pitching. Amazing pitching. I love their pitching. I love how Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler, they just are an amazing team. All around amazing team. I have them at 162. Diamondbacks, a team that I don't know if anybody thought, but they had a great all-around team, almost making the playoffs. I think that this team, a lot of people will see that the Diamondbacks have a lot to offer. A lot to offer. And they're going to be at 90-72. I have them as that. Same as the Phillies, but I think they'll be in the wild card against the Mets. That's where I have them at. And then I got San Diego. Tatis Jr., amazing rookie season. Amazing. Outstanding. Over the top rookie season for me. He couldn't make it past Pete Alonso because Pete Alonso had one of the best rookie seasons ever in baseball. But that's not Tatis's fault. San Diego's building a superstar in Tatis. And, well, you might think, okay, well, what else do they got? They have a lot of young talent, which is good. But Tatis, I think, will build up leadership in them. And then here comes the Colorado Rockies. Well, Nolan Arenado. Well, he's amazing. He's still amazing. He's still amazing. But Charlie Blackmon, not the season that you imagine him to have. DJ LeMahieu, they traded him to the Yankees. Next thing you know, LeMahieu's on the front cover of a newspaper, an amazing ball player. You never know what's going to happen, but I don't know if the Colorado Rockies can get out of this. I have them in fourth place. Mostly just I hope they can improve. I like the Rockies a lot. I love watching Charlie Blackmon just wham the ball out of the park. But I have them at 83-79, not knowing if they'll ever come back from that. Just like the Cubs, I don't know if they're ever going to come back up to the great team they once were. So that's something. The Giants, I have them in last at 76-86, trading away Madison Bumgarner. How bad can this get for them? And like I was saying, the Diamondbacks, they also got Madison Bumgarner. And they also got Starling Marte. So, like, you can't – I forgot to add that, too, which is insane. But the Giants just can't. You can't. You're going downhill. You don't know what's going to happen next. Excuse me. They got Hunter Pence. Well, they really just can't – I like Hunter Pence, but you can't, like – there's no – I don't know what to say. There's no, like, again, you got Buster Posey, but it's not going to go. It's just not a highlight anymore. It's not like a highlight. Like, think, oh, like 3 years ago, it would be like, oh, Buster Posey, oh my gosh, he's such a good player. He's still an amazing catcher. Talking about amazing catchers before, he's an amazing catcher. But Buster Posey, he's not the face. Mad Bum was the face of the franchise before. Buster was also the face of mention, but when Mad Bum leaves, I don't know why, but it makes Buster Posey get out of my head. When he leaves, Buster is gone. Like, you don't think of Buster, and you think, like, nobody's, like, into it anymore. It's just, they brought back Hunter Pence, which I like. They brought back infielder Pablo Sandoval. It's okay. Like, you need to have, again, some of the other problems with the other teams that don't have that amazing superstar. Now, turning to the American League, where we go to the AL East, where you see the Yankees. Whew, the Yankees. I'm a big Met fan. That's why it makes me feel inside like, oh, the Yankees. But, like, I'm supporting them. They're from New York. They signed Gerrit Cole. Oh my gosh. What a humongous deal. If he doesn't do good this year, if he's like the pitchers that got traded like David Price. He doesn't have to contribute much because he has a Dodger team that is just a good pitching rotation. They have an amazing pitching rotation. So just add him into that pitching rotation, he gets even better. And, well, Gerrit Cole, arguably the best pitcher last season. Let's talk about that. He goes to the New York Yankees. They have very high expectations for him. He gets into a rotation with Luis Severino and James Paxton and Masahiro Tanaka. It's going to do big. It's going to go big. It's going to have a great season. I hope DJ LeMahieu has a good season like that again. And think that, well, you kind of have Miguel Andujar, who didn't have an outstanding season last year, but I think that he'll make a comeback again this season, which would be good. The Yankees, look, they are 102-60 record, I think they're going to have. And, well, just think about the whole American East. Let's just think. You got Red Sox and Rays. Those are the two teams that I think are going to be battling it out all season. But then you got Vladimir Guerrero and the Blue Jays at 79-85. The Orioles at 71-93. Not that much to talk about. After Manny Machado left, again, we're talking about face of the franchise again. We're still talking about that because they have nobody. Think of Orioles. You know, I don't think of anybody. The Blue Jays, I think of Vladimir Guerrero. If I think of Rays, I think of Blake Snell because of that amazing Cy Young season. Red Sox. They have many players. It used to be Mookie Betts for me. And now I think of Chris Sale, who had an okay season this year. But Red Sox at second with 86-78. They have Andrew Benintendi, so they still got Chris Sale. They still have a good team. But the Rays are a good contender this year. You can't deny the fact that the Rays are a good contender against the Red Sox. They added a humongous powerful bat with Jose Martinez. They traded him from they got him from the St. Louis Cardinals for Hunter Renfroe, blah blah blah, that trade. But it's going to be big. They got a big bat in there. They just needed the bats, and now they're good to go. They got the pitching. Now they need the bats. And the bats will contribute for them, I think. Pretty sure they will. And then you got the Boston Red Sox, who have 86-78. By the way, the Rays are 85-79 from me. But the Red Sox, they traded Mookie Betts, a powerful hitter, and David Price. There's not really that much to talk about the Red Sox anymore, but I have them at least one game over the Rays just because I don't think it's the Rays' official time yet. They've been waiting two seasons now. I don't think it's their official time yet. But I do think that the Red Sox will not – next season, I think the Rays will overpass the Red Sox if the Rays have a really good season this year. Next, the Blue Jays, Vladimir Guerrero. Oh, boy, did he have a home run derby this year. I was watching this, and I'm like, wow, it's over for Pete Alonso. I'm like, he got lucky. He really got lucky. I really wish that I could say, oh, Pete had an amazing one. He was the best one there. Not as good as Vlad Guerrero. Vlad Guerrero, top-notch hitting. Honestly, I think Vlad Guerrero should have won. He just didn't have a good final round. So that's that. And then we get to the Orioles. Again, like I'm saying, I said this before, no face of the franchise. Not that much to talk about them. Sorry for any Orioles fans out there that you want me to talk about the Orioles or something, but I really don't. I really don't have the knowledge because I don't watch the Orioles a lot and I don't really pay attention to them. So I talk about them. It's really the best thing I'm going to talk about them right now. Most interesting topic for me about them is if there'll be over 100 losses this year. You never know with the Orioles. I have them at 71-93. I don't think they'll be over 100 losses this year. But maybe they will. You never know. So here we're going on to the AL Central. And we got the Twins. Twins. Nobody thought the Twins would be like that, how they were that last season. Nobody. So I just got to give a little bravo to the Twins. Because, like, really? They were good. I liked it a lot. And they got all the assets for a perfect team this year. All the assets. And I think they're going to go 93-69 with an amazing season this year. But then you got at second place for me, 86-78. This is one of my favorite. I'm going to have so much fun watching this team next season. So much fun. You ready for it? The Chicago White Sox, baby. The Chicago White Sox. They made their major offseason additions. They had Yasmani Grandal, designated hitter Edwin Encarnacion, and they also got Dallas Keuchel and Gio Gonzalez, both southpaws. They're going to have an amazing season. Well, Michael Kusbek had to have Tommy John surgery, but they're still going to have an amazing season next year. I have them second, which is going to be great. But then I got the Cleveland Indians. Corey Kluber got dealt to the Texas Rangers. We'll talk about that a little later. But they held on to Francisco Lindor for the moment. And appear they really have to rethink what's going to happen for the future seasons because they lost Corey Kluber. It's going to be interesting seeing how the Indians react and handle the situation they have on their hands now. So I got in fourth. There might be an argument between the Tigers and the Royals, right? But I got the Tigers over the Royals. They're both rebuilding. Kansas City, of course, I'm going to put in a fact right now that I'm going to hate to say right now. I'm going to hate to say this fact right now. They beat the New York Mets in the 2015 World Series. I watched that game live, every single game on my TV. I was just watching. I was so upset. They beat them 4-1 in the series. They had a good team that year. And by the way, they had Mike Moustakas, but then dealt him away to the Brewers, and then he didn't have a great couple seasons. And now they're in rebuild mode. They need a rebuild to what is happening. So now they got to rebuild. And the Detroit Tigers, they lost everything, but they could win. They could win. In future years, they could win a World Series. They can. Possible. I'm not saying it's not possible, but they can. But it's going to take a long time for these two teams to rebuild. So now, this leaves us with mostly, I don't know, should we go? Okay, we'll talk about this now. We can go to the playoffs now. And I have the National League playoffs. You got the Dodgers. You got the Dodgers playing. Let's see where this goes. The Dodgers playing. Yeah. See, the Dodgers playing. Okay. So we all got this. We got Dodgers in first. So they'll be playing. Well, first this. Dodgers, the Brewers, and the Phillies all have that to be able to go into anything else. So they're already in the playoffs. When then we have the Diamondbacks and the Mets claiming the two wild card spots. And then I have a Cy Young Award winner for this season. I think the best pitcher in the NL will be. Might be a little shocking. But I do think, I really 100% with all my might think, I'm not going to say Jacob DeGrom, don't worry. I'm gonna go with Steven Strasburg. I know he was MVP for the World Series. I mean, like, oh, you're just like thinking because he's a good pitcher and stuff like that. No, I think you might be like, but I think that this is a reasonable one because he came out of an amazing season last year in the World. He came in clutch in the playoffs. I think that he's gonna get it this year. Tell me, guys, tell me what you think in the comments right here. Who do you think will be the Cy Young Award winner for the NL? You can put it in right now. I think Jacob DeGrom. Not Jacob DeGrom. Just joking. I think Steven Strasburg for the NL. For the AL, I'm not going to go Garrett Cole, which might surprise some people. I'm not going to go Garrett Cole. You guys can put in your Cy Young Award winners if you want right now. So, let's see. I'm going to put in now. And here we go. I'll tell you AL when we get to AL playoffs. So what I think is going to happen right now, I'm going to have the Brewers versus the Phillies. Now, this is going to be big. I think the Phillies will overtake this. And then we got the Mets versus the Diamondbacks and the wild card. So I think Phillies will be Brewers. And we got Mets and the Diamondbacks in this right now. So here we go. Mets and the Diamondbacks, big wild card game right here. I'm going to have to go with the Mets. I'm not hopping on the bat. I'm not doing any of that. Not favoring or anything like that. And I think, really do think that the Mets are going to have a better team and they're going to overcome. And then they're going to get, they're going to win. And they're going to go play the Dodgers and they're going to lose. Very badly lose. I'm sorry, but they're going to lose very badly. And I think that the Brewers then play the Dodgers, and then the Dodgers win. I'm not going to keep on doing this. The Dodgers, I think, will win and then head to the World Series. And I think the MVP for the NL, all my might, I do very strongly think that Cody Bellinger will repeat. I do think. And, well, or it could be Mookie Betts. Those are my two people. I know I'm the Dodgers. I'm staying with the Dodgers and all that because I think that they have the best lineup. You guys can enter who you think will be the MVP in the NL this year. So, now we're going to head to the AL. What we have the Angels, Twins, and Yankees all in it already. With then we got the Astros. I didn't do the AL West for you guys. Sorry, I have the Angels, 97-65 Astros. And you might think they're cheaters and all that, but no. I have them 86-75, A's 84-78, Rangers with a new stadium, supposed to be good, at 77-85, Mariners 74-88. I got Astros. Well, they all basically have the same exact record, you would think. But they don't, necessarily. I think that the White Sox, I would think the Astros versus the Red Sox. That's who I'm going with, and I'm going with the Astros to win. Then I have the Twins with Angels. See, this is a tough one. This is so tough right now. So I'm going to pick what I've been thinking of this whole time is that Twins have an outstanding all-around team. Angels, they need a little bit more pitching. So I think the Angels next season will be an amazing team. But I'm going with the Twins on this. You can tell me all you want who you think would win that. You can do it me all you want. I think the Twins are going to win. Now, we have the Yankees versus the Astros. Now, a lot of people, this will be a very heated game, very heated series. And I think that the Yankees will win, but there will be a lot of hatred in that series. And then I would go with Yankees versus Twins. Who win? I'm going to go with the Twins. No, the Yankees got everything. Everybody's going to go, yeah, the Yankees got everything. They're the best team. That would be, oh, yeah. But I think the Twins have an amazing all-around team. They're just – the Yankees, they have amazing pitching, amazing hitting. But the Twins, they – nobody thought they would win last year. But look what they did. They just came out. The Yankees are always – people are always saying the best franchise in baseball, but the Yankees are always going to be the best. People say they're always going to be the best and stuff like that, but the Twins, I think, are going to overcome their expectations this year, and they're going to go to the World Series. So now we got the World Series, the big game, and they're going to be facing the one, the only, the Dodgers. Now, if you think, oh, they could beat the Yankees, they could definitely beat the Dodgers. Well, not necessarily. There's a difference between the Dodgers and the Yankees. The Dodgers have the same exact thing, but they got Mookie Betts. Remember how we were talking about big-time superstars? Well, Aaron Judge, yeah, DJ Lee, they're all superstars. But they got the MVP of last season and the MVP two seasons before. I know Aaron Judge, like, blah, blah, blah. Oh, my gosh. Like, superstars, Yankees, just saying the name Yankee is a superstar. The Yankees are the whole thing, the name, the brand, the deals, the team, they're all superstars. But the Dodgers, they just got a perfect all-around team. Name and position, the Dodgers have a good player in that position. But the Twins, again, like I'm saying, they're going to rise to their expectations. But I think the Dodgers will beat the Twins in six. Now, I will be back for some other sport talk in at least 1 minute, and you can write down in the comments which sport you want me to talk about, football, baseball, or basketball. And I am back. I don't know if you guys are still with me. I don't know if you want to write down in the comments below what you want me to play right now. And I just want to say, My T Sports Podcast, I will follow you. You are. Thank you for joining. And I post every single day. So it's nice that, and I'm just learning. This is my first live stream. I'm just learning how to do this. So thanks, man. And Well, So I was just gonna say that. I don't know if you guys want to do this, but let's start. Okay. Since you guys didn't write anything, I'm just gonna pick NBA. Oh, thanks. That was really nice, man. My first one, that was really nice. So during quarantine, I started this because, well, basically have nothing else better to do. And I thought, oh, making a podcast would be so cool. Like, my cousin does that, right? And it's really actually a good podcast. And I'm just like, let's do this. The iTalk Sports Show, I like it so far. And this Mighty Sports Podcast. If you want to write down below if you want to do NBA or not, because I'm going to start it up here and give you a minute or so if you want. And let's go do something. And if you can write it down, like in a minute, I'll be back. Just testing out music here just to see. Okay, let's see. You can put down NBA or anything. Sit back. Okay. Okay, well then, here we go with NBA. Top 15 players in NBA history, my ranking right now. And I just got this from a couple of websites too, but this is what I think. I agree with this, and I'm gonna put my own thought into this. So at number 15, I'm gonna have to go with Jerry West right now. Mr. Jerry West, from 1960 to 74, averaged 27 points per game. 6.7 assists per point game. And he's a 12-time All-NBA champion, my man. And 12-time All-NBA, 12-time All-NBA player, and a one-time champion, my bad. His only bad crime or whatever he did was sharing a league with Bill Russell. He has put up amazing numbers with the Lakers. He was nicknamed Mr. Clutch. And he is one of the best of all time, in my opinion. One of the best. I do think that other players that I didn't put down should have been on this list right now. But they're not. So. Sorry. That just shows a little bit. Next, we got Dr. J. Julius Irving. From 1971 to 1987, he averaged 24.2 points per game, 4.2 assists per game. He's a four-time MVP, in my book, that's amazing. 12-time All-NBA, three-time champion. Dr. J, he may not have invented the slam dunk, but he really perfected it. He was also in the ABA highlights. He had a lot of highlights there. And he merged into the NBA simply. He pretended the ABA did not exist. He's the bridge between the NBA's ground-bound past and its high-flying present. The first in a long line of forwards who could beat you just as easily above the rim as they could beneath it. He was one of the most outstanding players in NBA history. Steph Curry, I love the way he plays. I don't know if you all are going to be like, how are you saying this? What are you talking about? He's had a terrible season this year. He's injured. He was injured. It's not his fault that I think that mostly I think it's not his fault that KD went to Brooklyn. Klay got injured. All this happened for him. He got drafted in 2009. Since then, he has 23.5 points per game with 6.6 assists per game. He's a two-time MVP, six-time All-NBA, three-time champion. People might say, oh, he's getting harried by KD, Klay. Like LeBron carried the Cavaliers all those years. Well, not necessarily, in my opinion, because I agree that he needed a whole team to help him, but he's just like his dad, three-pointers, swishes all the way. And also, he's the only unanimous MVP in league history, which I find amazing. He's beyond question the greatest shooter the game has ever produced, in my opinion. He breaks and redefined all records that he could break. He drew Kevin Durant to the Warriors. I don't know if people agree with this, but he was the one. Kevin Durant saw the talent in Steph Curry, and then he's like, wow, I want to play with him. That this guy will get me to a title. So, the Warriors never won three titles if it wasn't for Curry. And every era gives somebody, every era, like beginning, you got Jerry Russell put on this list. Then you also had Bill Russell, who's also on this list. But then you also, and then next year you got Kareem in the 70s with the Bucks. And then you got the Lakers, you got Bird and Johnson. You also got Isaiah Thomas in the 90s, of course, Magic Johnson. I don't know if anybody saw, right down below, if you saw the documentary of him that's out now. Everybody's just watching it because it's just, like, everybody's watching it now. Because we're in quarantine, something fun to do, really. So, but you got the 80s Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, that humongous rivalry with Isaiah Thomas. And you got MJ, Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon. You got Walt Clyde Frazier. 2000s, you bring it in 2000s, you get Shaq, Kobe. You get Steve Nash. You also got the 2008 Celtics, who had an all-around good team. And then you come in with, and then LeBron's building up. Then you start thinking about, who's this LeBron guy? And LeBron, he just does his own thing. He does the LeBron thing. And then you see the trio in Miami. And then here comes the Warriors. You might think LeBron is in this era, but it's also Steph Curry. He still got Steph Curry. He got KD, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. There's a lot of people in this era, this decade, that really showed sports that they were their guys. Like, every year you got a new superstar, which I think is amazing. Which, in like in the 70s, like, you just had Kareem Abdul. And you also had the Knicks. The Knicks were a very good team. You also had other players too, but like, they didn't have one super, they had one like humongous superstar. They also had Oscar Robinson. You can also argue about that for like a couple of years. 60s also had Oscar Robinson too. But you can't argue about Steph Curry not being one of the best players in our decade. So, Oscar Robinson is number 12 on this list. From 1960 to 1974, he had 25.7 points per game. 25! And which I find outstanding, 9.5 assists per game. And he's a one-time MVP, 11-time All-NBA, one-time champion. What's up, Aussie? Nice, let's go. Nice to see you joining. Most probably known as the Big O. He played for the Kings, which I think was a good team to play on. he teamed up with Kareem, which got him his only title with the Bucks. But he was, that's true. That is true. He was also the first person to average a triple-double. Very true. At 6'5", Robinson laid the foundation for big scoring guards to have NBA success while leading the league in assists 6 times, which I think is pretty amazing. Hakeem Olajuwon coming in at number 11. He was from 1984 to 2002, 21.8 points per game. And really, one-time MVP. He's a big, big man. One-time MVP, 12-time All-NBA, 2-time champion with the Rockets. Everybody remembers the back-to-back titles, but Olajuwon was already 31 by the time he out-dueled Patrick Ewing in the 1994 finals with a decade of superstar-level production under his belt. On defense, he was the Bill Russell of his era, able to erase teammates' mistakes with his unreal quickness and anticipation. On offense, he wasn't quite as efficient as some of the other names on the list, but he is the rare franchise player who consistently performs better in the playoffs. Since he always took difficult contested shots, the postseason wasn't much of an adjustment for him. Imagine if Houston had surrounded him with a halfway decent supporting cast in the 20s. Imagine. So at number 10, I got Shaq. 1992 to 2011, he had 23.7 points per game. Big man. Very big man. He was a one-time MVP, 14-time All-NBA, 4-time champion. Of course, Kobe helped him out with that a little bit. R.I.P. Kobe. O'Neal in his prime was really utterly unguardable, to the point where other contenders needed to make sure they had a fleet of 7-footers on the roster in case he got the starter and the backup in foul trouble. He's remembered mostly for his sheer physical dominance, but there was always more to his game than power. When Shaq was younger, he had elite quickness before peak. Shaq punished double teams with his passing. His one MVP definitely undersells how thoroughly his presence distorted the game. Excuse me. A nightmare matchup, particularly if you had to deal with him for a whole playoff series. I don't know what would happen. It would not be fun for the other team. At number 9, we got Larry Bird. I would say that Larry, well, not really. I'm trying to think about what I should put now because, it's between Larry and Tim Duncan. Because I'm a big Tim Duncan fan. And I think that Tim won those 2 championships. He had help. He had a lot of help, which was good for him. But Larry Bird, he also had help, but he was just outstanding. I'm going to go with Tim Duncan at number 9. And he's 1997 to 2016, he had 19 points per game, which is not the best, if you're comparing to other superstars in this list. But he was a 2-time MVP, 15-time All-NBA, and 5-time champion. Few players combined two-way excellence, consistency, and longevity like Tim Duncan, who made the All-NBA first team as a rookie and the third team 17 years later. At his peak, he was 17 years later. 17 years in the NBA, he still made the team. At his peak, he was a dominant rim protector and an automatic double team in the post. Silently, he was really like silently shredding defenses with his footwork. Touch and pinpoint passing, his surgical style, interference toward attention, and complete aversion to self-promotion meant he didn't like really, he wasn't like his peers. And he might be even higher on his list if he hadn't been willing to sacrifice his individual statistics, first accepting a lighter minutes load to prolong his career, and then accepting a smaller offense role to empower his teammates. He's an amazing team player, and he gets bonuses points for the stuff as well as he understated approach to leadership. Nowadays, I have Larry Bird. Hold on, I just gotta get some water. My throat is killing me. I don't know about you, but this quarantine is making me so just like, it's kind of sad sometimes, like, but I'll get through it. This podcast makes me a little happier, so that's like, that's why I like when you guys are here, because it makes me, when I see other people on the podcast, it makes me feel a lot better, because I know that other people want to listen to the things that I like talking about too. So like, if like you guys know people share about the show, tell them that like this is a show about sports. If they like sports, they can join anytime now. So I'm just gonna put on some music. I'll be right back. Just gotta get a drink. Good, I'm back. Okay. I see my T Sports podcast is still here. Man, whenever you post new podcasts, I'm sure to follow. You really made my first podcast a nice one. And if any of your listeners want to come over here one time, that would be cool. Like, we could do a joint podcast or something. Be lit. So, yeah, Larry Bird. Oof. So, I was watching, funny story about this. I was watching a documentary about Larry and Magic Johnson, the rivalry. And I was thinking, how did this, like, rivalry start, end, whatever. So it started all in college. Magic versus Larry. I think Magic Johnson, Michigan. One of them went to Michigan. And one of them went to Indiana, I think. I think Magic went to Michigan and Larry went to Indiana. I'm going to say that. I think that's what it was. I don't know if any of you guys can tell me if I'm wrong or if I'm right, whatever. But I think that Magic went to Michigan and Larry went to Indiana. And that year, they faced off in the finals. And boy, was that heated. They both knew that they were the two players that the other team had to look out for. And, well, in the end, Magic came out on top. So it's 1-0 Magic right there. So it's really, the rivalry all starts there. And then, so let's just talk. Well, we're not talking about Magic. We'll talk about him later. Talk about Larry Bird right now. Larry Bird, 1979 to 1992, 24.3 points per game, 6.3 assists per game. Three-time MVP, 10-time All-NBA, three-time champion. Bird has a case as perhaps the most skilled player in history. One of the most skilled players in history. That's why he's not at the top of the list. Member of the ultra-exclusive 50, 40, and 90 shooting club. His 6'9" length and his high release allowed him to get a shot off against anybody. He had eyes in the back of his head. He made everyone around him better. Like, if you play with Larry Bird, like, that's what some people said about Michael Jordan. If you play with him, you got better. And, well, he was a ruthless competitor. He couldn't be stopped by anything but his bad back. I don't know if anybody knew this, say if you did, but you can write it in the comments. But Larry Bird had a very bad back issue. That's one of the reasons. See, Magic and Larry both had to retire because of, like, health problems. Larry, his back, and I think Magic was diagnosed with something, like a disease or something. So, now, Larry is, his career wasn't as long as most of the other players on his list, on our list right now, but his prime and peak were right there with the best players I've ever seen. So I don't know what you guys think about that, but I think Larry Bird was an amazing player, in my opinion. Very, very skilled. So next on our list, we have, let's see. What did I put down? Okay, we have Bill Russell. You can write in the comments if you don't agree with me or something like that, but I wasn't really alive for the 50s and 60s, so I really don't know what happened. But I did do some research, and he averaged 15.1, one of the worst averages of points per game, 15.1 points per game, 4.3 assists per game, five-time MVP, which is pretty amazing. 11-time All-NBA and 11-time NBA champion. Are you kidding me? I need some water for that. Are you kidding me? I know, right? You guys just got to cheer for it. So, he only played for 13 seasons. But when you've won more championship rings than fingers, it's pretty amazing. He has earned a place in their top eight, like top seven. And Russell was the consummate of winning and teammate sacrificing individual stats for team success as the Celtics rattle off to be never to be matched 11 titles in 13 seasons. He likely would have led the league in block shots many times had they kept track. Experts have speculated he averaged somewhere between 6 to 8 blocks per game for his career. He outdueled Wilt and West head to head many times, and then he even took on players' coach duties for his final three seasons and still won two titles. When you think of winning, you think of Russell, which makes him one of the best NBA players of all time. So, let's see who's next. Okay, we got Wilt Chamberlain. Right here. Will Chamberlain coming in at number, what is this? I lost track, honestly. But Will Chamberlain had, from 1959 to 1973, he had, let's do the math, 14 seasons which you're about to hear an amazing stat right now, and probably the he is tied on this list for averaging the most points per game with, and he's tied with none other than Michael Jordan. Wilt had 30.1 points per game, 4.4 assists per game, and 14, he was a 14-time MVP, 10-time All-NBA, and 2-time champion. Now, everything we said about Shaq can be said about Wilt, too. The Big Dipper scored 100 points in a single game. Now, I played NBA 2K, and I know this sounds like really weird and stuff like that. I did score 100 points in a game, 101 actually. And when I was playing, I was like, don't worry, I'm not one of those like video game addicts or something like that. Playing on a ton of teams and stuff like that. So I was playing 2K and I'm like, and that said, passed Wilt Chamberlain as the most points in a game. And I'm like, wow, that's an amazing record. 100 points in a game. I'm like, it's NBA 2K, it's not real life. The feat may not ever happen again, as long as the rules stay the same. And he scored 100 points in a single game. He averaged over 50 points for a full season, which is incredible. He never pulled down fewer than 18.2 rebounds per game in any season during his 14-year career with a high of 27.2. Chamberlain is the stat king of the NBA. If you look at stats, not except three-pointers, you would usually see Steph Curry, as we were talking about before. But if you looked at other stats, you would see Wilt Chamberlain. He'll likely never be unseated from his throne. You can argue about competition level, but Chamberlain was basically the Babe Ruth of basketball during his era. He was the Wayne Gretzky of the NBA. He wasn't like Michael Jordan, who people think were the Wayne Gretzky of the NBA. But if you're talking about stats, he was the Wayne Gretzky of the NBA. Now, number 5, Magic Johnson. Let's see who we have there. Okay. From 1979 to 1991, he averaged 19.5 points per game. 3-time MVP, 10-time All-NBA, and 5-time champion. In an era of positionless basketball, it has become an influence to call Magic the best point guard ever. But I don't think he's the best point guard ever. There is argument about that. But he's simply one of the 5 best players ever. Period. As a rookie playing center in place of an injured Kareem Abdul-Jabbar from the Lakers, he was in one of the 5 most legendary performances ever put up. 42 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 steals to seal the 1980 championship for the Lakers. He had appeared in the finals in 9 of his first 12 NBA seasons, winning 5 times. One of the 5 players to register 10,000 career assists, Magic is arguably the best passer in the league. History, and perhaps the best open floor player, again, period. At his size, with his full court speed, post-game, ball skills, and flair for the dramatic, it's fair to say we'll likely never see another player like Magic Johnson again. Well, next, this one was tough. And number 4, my toughest decision yet. Oh, no. I'm going to have to go with Kobe Bryant. RIP Kobe. Love you, man. Kobe, it was between Kobe and Kareem, but I do have Kobe. And I'll explain why when we get to Kareem, too. So, Kobe Bryant. Let's talk about him. 1996 to 2016, 25 points per game, 4.7 assists per game, He was a one-time MVP, which I think is ridiculous. He should have got it a lot more. But again, during these decades, you're seeing like a different star player every two seasons, or maybe sometimes every one season. Usually every two seasons you see another star player. He is a 15-time All-NBA, 5-time champion. The final two of those titles cemented Bryant in his top four. But we should not look past the full body of work of the late legend. Kobe, a 2-time scoring champ, is the 4th leading scorer of all time and is in no danger of being caught by anyone anytime soon. What's more, Kobe could dominate on both ends as evidenced by his 12 all-time defense selections. He was named Finals MVP twice and League MVP once. Did he always channel his talents in the most productive directions? Probably not. And efficiency is what keeps him in this spot. But there wasn't anything he couldn't do on a basketball court, mentally or physically, and few players have ever won more. He must have been doing something wrong, right? And he's one of the most respected players in the NBA. He's taught so many. If you come into the NBA, Kobe is the one to teach you how to be the best. Taught LeBron, taught a lot. He could teach a lot more players. And when he died, sadly, he had impact on the newest players in the league and the oldest players in the league. At number three, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. From 1969 to 1989, with 24.6 points per game, and the 6-time MVP, 15-time All-NBA, and 6-time champion. Okay, so this is going to be a good one. Let's start with the facts. Abdul-Jabbar is the leading scorer in NBA history. He was named MVP 6 times in a 10-year span and finished top 5 in the voting 9 other times. His two Finals MVPs came 14 years apart, which speaks to his incredible longevity as an elite player. Kareem averaged 28 points per game as a rookie. In 1969 to 1970 season, and 17 seasons later, he was still averaging. Now, this is really going to get you. This is going to remind you of a LeBron James who could still do this. 23.4 points per game on an elite team. A team that had Magic Johnson and many other great players. And he still was one of the superstars. Like we were talking with baseball before, you have to have those superstars to make you think. If you have a superstar, you make you think about the team. When I think Lakers, I think like in that span of those years when the Lakers and battling out with Celtics and stuff like that, I think of Magic and I think of Kareem. So he is still the all-time leader in minutes, and as a bonus, his sky hook is the most iconic shot in basketball history. So now, I want whoever's still here, I want thank you, MYT Sports Podcast, for being here the whole way. It really means a lot for me and my first podcast. I hope you can make it for the other ones too. I post every day, live stream every day. And so next, I want you to put down, I'll give you a minute to put, I don't know if you're like still, whatever you said before, like driving and shopping. So you can put down who you think is the number one and number two of this video. I have mine. Be back in a minute. Okay. Oh, well, so you didn't. So Papa's just doing something else. So I'm just gonna put in mine. Ready for mine? Okay. People might not agree with this, but I'm gonna say my number two first. My number two, Michael Jordan. I'm gonna say it because I'll tell you why later. But from 1984 to 1993, and then 1995 to 1998, then 2002 to 2004, he averaged 30.1 points per game, 5.3 assists per game, and 5-time MVP, 11-time All-NBA, 6-time champion. I'm not saying that this guy is not an amazing basketball player. I'm just saying that there's somebody that's better. The name really says it all. The statistics do too. But add on 6-time NBA Finals MVP, 10-time scoring leader, 9-time All-Defense team, and so on. One of the GOATs, but maybe the GOAT. But I'm going to go with now. I didn't have to say too much for Michael Jordan because you all already know that he is just, like, people who don't even know sports know Michael Jordan. So, number one, LeBron James. I have LeBron over Michael for one reason and one reason only. That every single year, he has an amazing season. Michael had help carrying the Bulls to all those titles. But I wouldn't really say carry too. He also had Scottie Pippen. And he also had like a lot of other good players too with him. But LeBron carried the Cavaliers 3 out of the 4 times basically by himself. And as you saw, the Cavaliers were the worst team in the NBA after LeBron left. And Kevin Love was still on the team. People said, oh, Kevin Love help. No, he didn't. Well, he did help, but it wasn't an amazing help. So LeBron has put up amazing numbers every year. He's been playing for 17 seasons. MJ, who played for about 14, he kind of died down after in the 2000s. LeBron, what's up, Almost Everything Podcast? LeBron, I'm just going to say this in one word right now, guys. He has had an amazing season all these times. And it doesn't look like he's going to stop. He's waiting for Bronny Jr. to come into the NBA, and they're going to be a superstar together. Superstar team. And, well, I'm just going to say the stats now. 27-1. 27.1 points per game, 7.4 assists per game, 4-time MVP, 15-time All-NBA, 3-time champion. Again, it's like Steph Curry and Kobe, Dirk Nowitzki, a lot of other players, like a lot of other stars like Kevin Durant. If they weren't all in the league, he would have had Well, yes, he is the complete athlete. For me, he is. He's totally the complete athlete. And if they were in the league, he would have had MVP every season. And if it wasn't for Kyrie, the Cavaliers would have still made it in 2016. But I don't know if they would have won. They would have still made it to the title, but I don't know if they would have won. So James has earned his spot at number one because 3 more full season at last year's. What other sports do you think he'd be just good at? I don't know, really. Well, my favorite sport is, I love baseball. Try to get you guys more baseball and more baseball stuff and more hockey. I love hockey too. I don't know about you guys if you guys like hockey or not, but I love hockey. And don't worry, I'm not from Canada, I'm from New York. I'm not a Yankees fan, don't worry. James is a 35-year-old, an all-time athlete in the era of superstars who often defied time. Would see him pass Kareem as the game's all-time leader in points? Probably. He already has the 8th most assists in league history, which I think is incredible. He could become the first player to be a Finals MVP with 3 different teams. And more rings, of course, remain within grasp. If quarantine didn't happen, the Lakers have had a pretty good shot. The only threat would definitely be Giannis, and I would talk a lot more NBA tomorrow when I post. And an all-timer still craving out his place in the game. He's I don't know about you guys, best player in NBA history. I'm gonna leave it there. And if you guys want to tune in tomorrow for tomorrow's podcast, my T Sports podcast, thank you so much for listening, bro. Hope you can join me tomorrow if I go on. And maybe bring some of your friends with you on your podcast. I would love to support you. And I'm signing off for now. It was really, really fun. You made my first podcast a lot more easy for me to do. Oh, before I put that on, thank you. And I will see you guys tomorrow if you want to tune in. Bye. Oh, and by the way, if you're still listening, I might have my second cousin come in. He does a really cool podcast. We might talk sports tomorrow, too. We actually Zoom call watching Mets games. So he might come in, and he has a really good podcast, like a really good growing podcast. He might come in tomorrow. We might talk some basketball because he's good. He knows a lot about basketball. So signing off for now. Peace. See ya.